Right, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be turning. Oh, let me just get this one on quick. We're going to be turning back to 1 Peter, Peter's letter to the dispersion of the Jewish believers at that time. And then we're also going to go to Matthew 24, so you might want to find that as well, the last part of Matthew 24. But let's go to 1 Peter first, because over this last few weeks, as we've kind of been continuing on this theme, if you like, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the spreading flame of Pentecost, how everything changed on the day of Pentecost, and what a privileged people we are. We must never forget that, church. And I know there's various views amongst Christians in the wider world as to how the gifts of the Spirit, some people will say, are not there for today. They were only there for the times of the apostles. We don't believe that here. Gifts of the Spirit are for now and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And we should desire this. We should really, as a church, be seeking to live out the fullness of all that Jesus did at Calvary, okay? So remember, I always say to us, Jesus, yes, he said on the cross, it is finished. Because he paid the price for sin once and for all. He's not going to come back and die on the cross again, okay? We know that. And that part we can say is finished, but we know the same way we also saw after Jesus rose from the dead before he ascended into heaven, how much time, those 40 days that he spent really almost painstakingly getting his disciples ready for what was going to come on the day of Pentecost. Because everything changed there again. Okay, and outpouring of the Spirit. And this is a promise to you and your children, all those who are afar off. You know, all those whom the Lord would call, as Peter says in his great message in Acts chapter 2. It's available. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is available for all of us, my friends. This was God's promise for us, and we should be walking in the power of his might. And we see this now as these transformed disciples, even Peter, we looked at him, a man who was all over the place in a lot of ways, before he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But now, being filled with the Holy Spirit after the day of Pentecost, God uses him very powerfully and mightily. And he's writing this letters to the church. And as we know, he's writing it to the dispersion of the Jews. But those who believe, those who are Christians, yes, and that's us this morning, we believe in Jesus. And we looked at those salvation that he keeps talking about, the past, present, and the future tense of our salvation. I hope you know, and I'm reminded again this morning, you have been saved by the blood of Jesus, yes? Okay, it's finished, it's done. You are continually being saved, and I know as you're sitting here this morning, if you're a believer in Jesus, as I am this morning, he is not finished with my life. I am continually being saved. I'm continually being refined. Sanctified is the word the Bible would use. It's a continuous process, and we must never stagnate. But we also know there is the glorious hope and the future that is waiting for us. Ultimate, when it comes to a completion, the salvation, and we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our renewed bodies. Hallelujah. In eternity, okay? So here we are at moments like this when we're worshiping, and you maybe in your private time of worship and being lost in the presence of the Lord. My friends, those are but tasters. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We taste of the powers of the age to come, it says in the book of Hebrews, okay? And so Peter's under this anointing of the Holy Spirit. And notice all the way through as we've looked at these few verses, he's getting the attention of these dispersed Christians, Jewish Christians at the time, Messianics, to get them under their time of persecution. Because remember, the church is persecuted at that time. And we know even in our time now, Christianity is hugely persecuted, okay? We're fairly free here, but my friends, these things are on our doorsteps, okay? And this was word spoken to them under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, getting these Christians, despite the hard times that they're going through, literally running for their lives many times, okay? Escaping persecution with their families. What are these disciples under the anointing of the Holy Spirit? What is the message for them? Don't forget your salvation. Don't forget this living hope that is coming, our eternal salvation in Jesus. So they're always getting them to look up and not here. See this? And this is something that's very important. So last time we looked at Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, and 1 Thessalonians, all those chapters, each and every one of those chapters in 1 Thessalonians has a reference to the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. Yes, at the coming of our Lord. And so, very important message throughout the New Testament to wait for the coming of the Lord. And it's with that we want to continue on. I'll just read from 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 13. We've covered those first few verses previously. And I'll just remind you of verse 12. Peter says to them, he's talking about these prophets back then who wrote about these things with the Spirit of Christ, was longing to look into the wonderful things that we enjoy even now. He says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Okay? So he's reminding them again, this salvation, this wonderful thing that is happening, this wonderful thing that we and you and I are in, okay, is an amazing thing. Angels even desire to look into, see what God is doing. And even those prophets of old, as they prophesied under the Spirit of Christ, were wondering, what is this wonderful thing that God's going to do, my friends? Salvation in Jesus' name. And then Peter says to us in verse 13, this is where we're looking at this morning before we go to Matthew 24. He says, therefore, okay, so the therefore is, remember, obviously, we've got to ask, what's it there for? Everything else that he just spoke about, our salvation, our hope. Now, in light of all of that, he says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully, not partially, fully, upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, a reference to his coming. Stop just there. Is your hope fully rested on that this morning? Because it seems to me these apostles are very clear in their message. This is what we are supposed to do. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. All of us here remember our old lives before we were saved. Okay, not like that. Now being saved. But as he, verse 15, called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Can we all say amen to that? Amen. If you're a born-again believer, we can most certainly say amen to that. And it's because we have this wonderful faith and hope is in God. And this is something so amazing. So remember now, in light of all that we're looking forward to, the future hope, the coming of the Lord, Peter is saying to us, there's something on our part that we've got to do. Okay, we can study these things academically. I love doing this. I love studying end times things, eschatology. It's one of my favorite subjects in the Bible. And I can get lost in it. But it can become an academic exercise. And I need to check myself, as we all need to check ourselves. Lord, I don't want it just to be an academic exercise. I want to come to a place of worship. When I read these things, when I see on the pages of Scripture, and I see what is happening around us in the world, and I can see, Lord, this is what your word's talking about. And that these things are happening, and it should bring me to a place of worship, and a place of surrender, a place of humility, of the greatness of God, and the smallness of me. And then the wonderful privilege to know that he would save such a person as me and to be filled with his Spirit, indwelled by him. My friends, this should bring us to a place of absolute worship. And so Peter's saying there, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want us, as we segue out of this morning and consider this theme, please turn with me to Matthew 24. This great discourse of Jesus before he went to the cross. And no doubt Peter will remember some of these words. Matthew 24, it's like the backbone of eschatology, if you like, if you're going to study the times of the end, because Jesus speaks about it himself. Who better to hear it from than Jesus? Yes, the one who's going to come back and implement the very things that he's talking about. Yes? And so he speaks to them, the time of the great tribulation. And we've looked at this many times in the church here, and I trust you've looked at this before. And the coming of the Son of Man, and, you know, coming on the clouds, and the deception, and all this stuff. And, of course, the great tribulation, as we studied when we went through the book of Revelation. And then, towards the end of this chapter, in verse 36, Jesus says this very key words. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Okay? Yet everyone tries to figure it out. When is it going to be? Jesus said, of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. If you've ever studied the ancient Jewish wedding, my friends, you'll connect the dots here. It is the Father that tells his Son to go fetch his bride when he's waiting. Okay? And the Son is waiting. When can I go fetch my bride? The Father will give him the go-ahead. This is something with the Father, something so special, okay? No one knows except for my Father, he says. And then he says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And he explains, verse 38, for as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus goes on to explain here. Verse 40, then two men will be in one field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Okay, this is a horrible thought to think. Left Behind, it was a great movie series years ago, books that were written in the Left Behind series, people like or dislike, or but the concept there that of being left behind is very, very true and biblical. And what does Jesus say in light of that? Verse 42, watch therefore, okay, watch therefore on you and on me. This is what we are supposed to do. Watch therefore. Why? Because you do not, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be, what does your Bible say? Ready, okay? Ready is the key word, and you'll see this all the way through these next few parables. And when you read this passage through Matthew 25, we won't look at that all this morning. But being ready. Jesus is saying, therefore, you also be ready. So that's the big word, and that's the question you're going to ask yourself, and I've got to ask myself, how do I get ready? Well, hopefully Jesus will help us understand. He says, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, okay, I've got to get this, this one out the way if I can, okay, because I know there's great division amongst the church, and it shouldn't be like this. Not our church here, necessarily, and maybe some here, I don't know. But many, many Christians have fallen out as to how we view the coming of the Lord, okay? And I think most Christians will agree Jesus is coming back. Yes, just as he promised, that is absolutely true. Argument generally happens is when is he going to come to rapture his church or call his church unto himself? So just very quickly, the three views are the pre-tribulational view, okay? Some call mid-trib or pre-wrath. And then there are the post-tribulationals, okay? We believe it will happen at the end. Now, I can get along with any one of those, even though I disagree, because I firmly hold to the pre one, so you don't have to throw stones at me or tomatoes or whatever you got, okay? But that's what I believe. And the reason I believe this, and I encourage you, look this up yourself and don't argue with people and fall out with them. It's a healthy discussion. It's a healthy thing, and it helps us to think and consider the coming of the Lord, okay? And the reason I hold to, and I know many in the church here, hold to that pre view, it's because of these very words that Jesus says, an hour when you do not expect. There's a key word here that says, or that idea of imminence, that he will come at an hour you do not expect. And may I also just carefully and lovingly say, just as we're all sitting here breathing, Next week, we may not be sitting here breathing. We may be breathing our last this very week. We don't know when that moment comes when we breathe our last. And so our life is ended on this earth and we are with the Lord. There is an imminence that should always be in the back of our minds. Call it even a fear, if you like. It is a healthy fear. I'm not here to put fear on you this morning, unless it's the fear of God. Then I want to put that on you as much as I can, because I want to live in the fear of God. So he says, you do not know what hour the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And then Jesus, please, this is one of the most overlooked parts of Matthew 24, and I love going here for this very reason, because it answers the question, I believe, how? How do we make sure we're ready? Jesus tells this parable of the faithful and the evil servant from verse 45. Jesus is saying, continuing to explain, who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Okay, question. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But, there's a but involved here. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master's delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware of. And these next words are chilling and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with who? The hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My friends, this is a very chilling passage. And there's one thing that you and I got to get very clear in our minds. As people that have suffered persecution, for people that have been hit by the knocks of life, the hardness of life, we know that life can be terribly unfair, okay? Things might be going swimmingly and we're praising the Lord for all his goodness and his grace and his favor and his mercy and all these things. Like that, things go wrong. And if our hope is only in the things of this world, what do we clutch onto? But if our hope is in the Lord, amen? We can endure even the most difficult of circumstances, as many of these first century Christians did. Many of them, their livelihoods taken out right from under them. Many of them losing how much the church was persecuted to the point of death. Right up until that third century even. Think about those great Colosseums and how they used to burn the Christians at the stake, even in this own nation of ours. Terrible things done to Christians, okay? Life is tough. And we can see the great evil around us. And we are ignorant if we don't take note of this. And we don't understand the reality of this. And one of the great reality checks, if you like, of the horrors, of the evils of this world is when you stop and you consider again what happened at the cross of Calvary. When the most righteous being came down into this world, the very Son of God, the pure, spotless Lamb of God. In him was no sin. And yet he was crucified like a sinner would amongst those thieves, and taking all the sin of the world upon himself. Those horrors and the pure violence surrounding that, my friends, to show us the horrors of this world, the evils that are on the other side, if you like, and the great lengths that our God goes to save us from that. And so when Jesus speaks these words of weeping and gnashing of teeth, being cut asunder, and all these horrible things, no, Jesus, that's not my Jesus, meek and mild. This is too tough for me to consider. A Jesus who talks about hellfire and eternal separation from God. No, this is our loving Jesus warning humanity to not go to that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what is this that we are looking at here? What is this question that we're asking ourselves here? That Jesus is saying, who then, verse 45, is a faithful and a wise servant? Please notice with me, okay? When Jesus called his disciples, okay, they were servants. What did Jesus do to Peter? Remember after Peter denied him three times before he went to the cross and that rooster crowed and Peter was cut to the heart and wept bitterly. When he realized he denied his Lord. And then in John, his gospel at the end, we see how beautifully Jesus restores him, doesn't he? He asks him, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Asks him three times, and three times Jesus says to him, you know, Peter's like, yes, Lord, I love you. He says to him, feed my lambs. This is John 21, 15 to 17. And he asks him again, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. You know this account, to tend my sheep. Asked him a third time, Lord, yes, I do. Feed my sheep. You're a servant of God. I've given you a job to do, is what God has given to Peter. So here is the question. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant? Someone who's been given something to do. Okay? Whom his master made ruler over his household to give them what? Food in due season. To feed his sheep. Yes? My friends, if you're a servant of the Lord, he's given you something to do. Today we're going to ask that question. Or we need to ask ourselves that question. Lord, what is it that you have me to do? I thought it was all Dion's job. I thought it was Bob and Dave and Mike and Albert's job and all the helpers in the church. What am I to do? This is how we think, isn't it? What do you want me to do? I'll do it. I'll pack out the chairs. I just want to do what I need to do. No, forget all of that. You need to ask the living Lord, the great master, what is it, Lord, that you have given me to do? And do that. And we're going to see how we can know whether we're in that or not, okay? So he says, this faithful servant, okay? He says, verse 46, this is where we all want to be. Blessed is that servant when his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Clearly in context, Jesus is talking about his coming here, okay? Here is the question that I need to ask myself. We need to all ask ourselves, when Jesus comes, and remember, I like emphasizing this. There was a day he was born. There was a day he died. There was a day he rose from the dead. There was a day in history when he ascended into heaven. There's going to be a day in the future when he comes again. A day, on a specific day, he is going to come. How is he going to find us? What's he going to find us doing? My prayer for me and myself, my family, and all of us here is, will he find us faithfully doing those things he's called us to do? Amen? Oh, thank you, Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, okay, but there's the but that we have to consider because Jesus brought this to our attention. But if that evil servant, so immediately Jesus labels this as an evil servant, this is an evil place to be. If that evil servant says in his heart, he's not even saying it with his mouth, he's saying it and thinking it in his heart and in himself. Okay? I believe this is an attitude that Jesus is pointing out here. That evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. And then what does that begin to work out as? He begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware of. And then we hear read these horrible words. He'll cut him in two, appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place nobody wants to be. Please notice with me here, this is a huge, huge, huge topic, and I can see this as we're reading Peter, as we read Paul, as we read John's letters and all these things, okay? If we get to a place where we neglect this wonderful, wonderful promise that is coming, my friends. Now remember, Jesus painstakingly worked with his disciples before he ascended into heaven to get them to the place of Pentecost so they can be endued with this power from on high so they could be witnesses of Jesus wherever they go. And praise God they were good witnesses. And that they have passed it down to faithful witnesses throughout the ages so that you and I are here today in Three Mile Cross Church to worship the same Jesus. Yes, this is a miracle of God. Now, this message that the church has through the power of the Spirit, as we see these apostles, as we see them speak out to the church, even in light of persecution, even though they're not having all the wealth and all the good things that maybe people believe that we should be promised as Christians, he's always getting their focus. It's coming. Don't forget what is coming. Okay, so there's this wickedness, this evil, if you like, that can settle into our hearts. Where this evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. You may never say it. You may never voice those words. None of us ever want to say, Jesus is not coming back now. But do you see with me, when we adopt an attitude that is divorced, if you like, from this great teaching in the Bible that Jesus is coming at any moment. My master has given me something to do. He said, this is what I want you to do. I'm coming back at an hour you do not know. So what do I do? Very simply, well, I don't know what time he's coming back. He didn't say, I'm just going to be sure I'm doing his work so that when he comes back, I'll be ready. Yes? Do you see this with me? And that attitude, if you like, that imminence that is in me then, is in living in fear. May I use that word respectfully this morning? In fear that my master's coming back at any moment. And I don't want to be found taking an extended lunch break with my friends, okay? Gossiping about this and gossiping about that and whatever, okay? I hope you get the picture with me this morning. Jesus drawing our attention to this, okay? But if this contrary attitude develops in our hearts, what is the outworking of this? It says you begin to beat your fellow servants. This is one of the first things that Paul points out in the letter to the Corinthians. There are factions among the church, okay? They are falling out one with another. And he calls them spiritual babies. A church that has forgotten who they are in Jesus. They've forgotten their very purpose. They are falling out. They're having petty issues amongst themselves. This is one of the first signs if you go to a church, and I hope we don't find it here. Maybe there were pockets in history where they've always been merged, but we've got to deal with it. When there is just backbiting and gossiping and infighting and all kinds of stuff, my friends, this is a clear sign that we are carnal. That's not my words, that's Paul's words to the church. You are carnal. You are fleshly. You're not walking in the Spirit. And he has a right go at them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is, okay? And this is one of the outworkings of a church who has taken off their eyes of the imminent return of their master, living in that healthy fear, he's coming back at any moment. And they begin to eat and drink with the drunkards. They go back to a life that they lived once before. Peter said, have you read it there? Don't be like in the times of the former you, your former life where you were just living for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and all that stuff. The pride of life, as John says, just living for this life now. No, don't go back to that. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so that we don't become like this wicked servant. And the harsh thing I see here, that Jesus is saying, that servant, Jesus will come upon him when he thinks not. Well, what has that servant already said in his heart? My master's delaying his coming. He's thinking, not for another 10, 15 years. Can't be. I've studied prophecy. Jesus can't come back in our time. This and 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 this all needs to happen first. And I've heard great Christians say things like that. Jesus can't come back for his church. This has to need to happen first and that needs to happen first. I get worried for them when they say things like that. Like, no, we shouldn't be teaching that. We should always be ready. Always be ready for Jesus' imminent return. And then on top of that, your life could end this very night. Where are you? Don't ever say in your heart, my master's delaying his coming. He can't come back. He will come back when he comes back. And in fact, Jesus is saying, "When I'll come back on that evil servant when he thinks not. He's thinking not now, but later." And I do not want to be that evil servant that gets caught out because I'm not ready. So this is a huge topic, my friend, something we need to grapple with and try and remove the arguments, if you like, about our views of the tribulation. All I want to always preach and teach is, my friend, is be ready for the Lord's return. Yes, we can have our ideas as to when the rapture might take place. Don't ever set those delayed ones, if I like, set in stone. Always at least have that doctrine of imminence. And I can assure you, if that's the one that's right, it's the best one, okay? We do not want to be here for any time of the great tribulation that is described in the book of Revelation and other places. Okay, so this is a huge topic. Now, please, we need to consider in the few moments that we got left, just how. How do we make sure we're ready, okay? So Jesus gave them a task. He expects them to do something, and there's a coming where he'll find you so doing. Right, but there's chapters in the Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just flip through a few here that I believe will answer the question, how do I know that I'm ready? Because I can't answer that question for you this morning What must I do? Dion, do you want me to pack out chairs? Do you want me to help with teas and coffees? What do you want me? It's not about helping in church, okay? That's part of it, if you like. But it seems to be the first thing we always jump to. And I was like that as well when I heard a message like this. Like, what's the pastor asking us to do then so I can do it? No, please hear me this morning. I'm not asking you to do anything. All I'm asking you as a pastor is you go to your Lord and you ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? That is the most important thing, because you're not going to answer to me on that day, I can assure you. I'm going to answer to God for what I taught you, okay? And I get worried about that sometimes. Help me to get it right, Lord. I don't want to get this wrong. Okay, but there are passages in the Bible that we just got to look at very quickly. How do we know? How do we know? How do I know if I'm ready to meet the Lord? What is the ingredients here? Okay, 1 Corinthians 1 from verse 4. I'll read it there. Paul says here to the Corinthian church, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Verse 7, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into this fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice those key words there in verse 7, that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to see this again, okay? Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. If you can find Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Notice what these apostles, these spirit-filled apostles, this is, if you could almost remove Peter and Paul and John and just see, as it were, in them the spirit of Jesus. Jesus pleading through his servants to his church. These are the things they are saying to them. These letters were preserved all the way through, regarded as scripture, the very words of God. He says in verse 17 of chapter 3 in Philippians, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven. Is that true of you this morning? I know where my citizenship is, my friends. It is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Do you see the same message there again? Those who eagerly wait for the Savior of the Lord Jesus Christ. My master's coming. Please come soon, Lord. This work is hard. Okay. I think it's okay to think like that. Eagerly waiting for the Lord, knowing where your citizenship is. I want to stress this again this morning, my friends. I'm convinced many times in our world and our country we live in now, and I've said this before, and Peter is an example. Remember Peter, full of zeal, you know, before he was filled with the Holy Spirit. When they came to arrest Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? He pulled out the sword and chopped off the guy's ear. Violent. Peter, come on, man, you can't do that. Such was the zeal of Peter and his love for his Lord. If you come to arrest my Lord Jesus, I will literally slay you with my sword. Okay. Jesus picks up the guy's ear, puts it back miraculously. put away your sword, okay, paraphrasing. That's not your fight, Peter. I want to say to us this morning, we've got to recognize the real fight that we're in. If we are heavenly minded, if we are, our citizenship is there, okay, we can understand what Jesus is saying when he was even standing before Pilate, when Pilate was goading him and all those were spitting at him and mocking him and getting him, and he wouldn't open his mouth but would confess, my kingdom is not of this world. Okay? He could explain to them all that's happening, they would not understand. Now we can look back and now we listen to those words of Jesus, I go goosebumps. That's my Lord. That's my kingdom. And he's my king. And I want to be part of his kingdom. And this is the fight that we're in. Are we heavenly minded or earthly minded? This is a huge challenge. We pray for our nation. Yes, we get frustrated, but don't get swept up in the fight. Put away your sword. Get out the sword of the Spirit. Get on your knees and begin to pray for this nation, my friends. This is something I think is very, very important. Please turn with me also to Hebrews chapter 9. We shall see again another emphasis, no argument as to who wrote Hebrews. It's anonymous in a lot of ways. A lot of people believe this is Paul the apostle, may well be, but written by the power of the Holy Spirit, recorded for us that we may know, and writing great truths in this amazing book of Hebrews. In chapter 9, from verse 27. These very important words, talking about the greatness of Jesus' sacrifice at the cross. And it says in verse 27 of chapter 9 in Hebrews, and as it is appointed for men to die once, do you know this? Okay. Death is knocking on our door, as it were, unless we are that generation to be caught up to be with the Lord. What a glorious generation that will be. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Do you see this common thread throughout the Bible, my friends, throughout the New Testament, throughout the finished work of the cross, after the day of Pentecost, this focus, church, get your eyes on the coming Lord. Yes, let us eagerly wait for him. And this is saying very clearly, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. And he says there, for those who eagerly are waiting for him. Those key words are so, so important. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. My friends, this is a simple question I'm asking myself, and I'm asking you to ask of yourself and for us as a church. Are we living in light of his imminent return? Are we faithful servants going about the work of Jesus? Now, ask yourself this question, because I know this is what we all ask. And we hear a message like this sometimes and you feel, oh, Lord, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? I've tried this, I've tried that. How have I got anything to offer? Okay? And you may feel I've not done anything. I see the pastor up there. I see the elders. I see these people. And I see the great evangelists. I see the Billy Grahams of the day. I'm not one of those. What have I got to offer? They've done it. Yes, I've been there. What do you need me for? What have I got to offer? I'm so terrified. I mean, I could do it now, but I could never stand in front of people talking. Lord, I've got nothing to offer, quite literally. But you know what I had in my heart? It was a love for the Lord and a longing for his return. And an imminence in my heart here that I know at any moment he can come back. And whether I'm doing what I'm supposed to or can do in him, at the very least, will you find me a faithful servant that is just longing, Lord, I couldn't wait for you to come back. We've looked at this numerous times, the whole theme of the marriage, the bride and the bridegroom. No bride, my friend, who's excited about her imminent marriage, wedding day, is just careless. And when her future husband eventually arrives, she's like, oh, pff, no, I wasn't. Not now. Next week, My hair's not done, okay? My nails are not done or whatever, okay? My dress is not ready. No, she's waiting for that day. And from the very moment that the betrothal happens in that ancient Jewish wedding, my friends, she is beginning the preparations with all those alongside her, getting ready, because at any time that midnight cry could come, the bridegroom is coming for his bride, and she best be ready. And she will be, because she's excited. And if you go study that ancient wedding, they literally lift her up and they carry her to go meet her Lord as the trumpets go off. Okay? But this is what it's about, my friends. We've got to be ready. You and I can make this a great academic exercise and understand our eschatology and have it squeaky clean in every nice, neat box. But if my heart's not ready to meet my Lord, I'm going to be like that evil servant. Yes? And I'm going to find myself living in the flesh. Now, my question again, just very simply, to each and every one of us here this morning, are you eagerly waiting for his return? Now, okay, I've heard this even from some young people, okay? A young lady, I was in the school years ago, talking about the coming of the Lord. You know, I want to be excited about the Lord's coming, but do you think he could just wait until I get married? It's a dream I have, and I'm going to miss out on that. You think, what do you say to someone like that? You know, everything that you think about marriage and all the beauty and wonderful, for those who have been married for many years, will probably tell her, think again, okay? Firstly, as wonderful as it can be pretty awful sometimes as well, okay? But every high thought, every beautiful thought that you have about marriage and everything that could go with that, that you are longing for and dreaming for, please can I just have that, Lord, before I go be with you? Oh, when you go read and study the pages of Scripture and you see the glories that are set before us, those feelings that you experiencing or are longing for in marriage is going to be superseded, I'm sure, a million times over. That when you're there in glory with the Lord, you won't even think about, I'd rather want it to be on earth and be married first. Is the only way I could say. Don't let us get stuck with the here and now. My friends, this world can offer us many amazing things, many great joys. Yes, we talked about marriage, birth of a child, watching your family grow, seeing blessings in your household. There are many, 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 many wonderful things, my friends. Not a patch on that which is coming. And if we are missing that in our lives, I want to ask you, as I must ask myself, where is my attention? Because Jesus says, if your treasure is here on earth, that's where your heart will be. But if your treasures are in heaven, your heart will be there. Yeah, so your life may be horrible here, but you know as a believer, he is working all these things for good, doing something in you, sanctifying you, building you up. I ask you again this morning, are you eagerly waiting for his return? Because it can happen, I believe, with my whole heart at any moment, and I want to be ready. Amen. I want to pray for us this morning, Dave and Joel. I don't know if you got a song this morning, but I particularly felt this morning, just led of the Lord to pray during this time as we close the service this morning, because I've been there in my life, okay, where I've asked questions, Lord, I want to serve you, and I got this desire and everything, but, you know, life gets in the way and all this stuff. But there were times in my life when I was so grateful, and they always happened at church, okay, where I was going, where there would be a moment like this of just do some inward looking, if you like. Be selfish for a moment before the Lord, you know, saying, Lord, I want to examine myself here this morning. And there were these key moments in my life that I can look back on where I can know that was a time when I just came and I rededicated my life to the Lord. Okay, I don't know what that must look like for you. I know what it was like for me. It's just a simple brokenness. This is a day. And I remember our pastor back in the day, he used to say, I don't want anybody just to make a decision this morning. I want you to make a quality decision so that you can remember this very Sunday, this very day, and even write it down somewhere. Today, Lord, I prayed that prayer where I'm saying to you, Lord, I'm just making myself wholly available for you. I want to be a faithful servant. Yes? Forget about all the roles and things that you might think go with that. Just come to that place of say, Lord, I don't know. But I'm here. And I just want to lay down my life before you. Do you want to pray that prayer with me this morning? If that's you, just pray that in your heart or to the Lord this morning. But remember, this is a day, okay? Mark it down somewhere. A day when I rededicate my life to the Lord. May not have worked out the way I wanted or planned, but I'm coming back to you, Lord. So, Father, I bring these, your children, all of us. We come before you as we are today. And, Lord, as we said, seen by your own words, there is the faithful servant and there is the evil servant. Lord, today we want to be the faithful servant. Lord, we want to be those children of yours that when you come, you will find us in obedience, doing the very thing that you've called us to do, even if it may not be what we think it should be, but we are found with a heart towards you. And we are found with our heart loving you and longing for you and longing to be with you and living our lives in light of that. Lord, I pray that you'll bring us to that place again of complete surrender. And Lord, even today, if there's things that you are showing us, even now, Lord, and I know, we know, we sometimes fool ourselves, but we know what those things are that we need to lay down. They're not of you. That's not your desire for our life. So, Lord, I pray this day there would be repentance. There would be a cutting away. There would be a turning away from the ways of the flesh. A besetting sin, whatever it may be, that is holding your people back. Jealousy and anger, a resentment and unforgiveness towards somebody. Lord, I pray that today we would lay it down before you and truly be free because you've made us free. Your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We can live for you. And I pray that this morning your people would be free and that you would see vessels of honor here this morning to be filled by your Spirit, to fulfill the call that you have for them and find us faithfully doing that on that day when you come. In Jesus' name we ask, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Dave. Let's stand together as we praise the Lord together. Amen.
Amen. Are you ready? Are you that faithful servant? Do you have oil in your lamp? With joy, peace, and love.